Last week, we discussed fellowship with Christians, the body of Christ, according to what the Bible says. So today, we will be reminded what Scripture says the body of Christ and the local church should look like. We will focus mostly on the body of Christ today and next week, the local church. First, let's look at Colossians 1:18, and it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent." So when we are talking about the body of Christ, the church, according to this passage, who is the head of this body? Christ is the head. And why does it say he is the head? So that we know from the verse that he is preeminent, which means he is superior. He's above all. He's over all. So Christ is the head of the church. As we continue to talk about the body of Christ, we know already that Christ is the head. So what makes up the rest of the body of Christ? Believers, followers of Jesus. And believers are, as most of us know, those who have acknowledged that they're sinners and believe with all their heart that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he died on a cross for our sins, their sins, and rose again 3 days later. Then they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. So that's what a believer or follower of Jesus is. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 27. And it says this, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense be of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of the smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would be the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor shall again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." First of all, who gave the members their responsibilities? In verse 18, it says God gave each member their responsibility. And in verse 25, what does it say that God desires for the body of Christ? He desires no divisions in the body. He desires that the members of the body would have the same care for one another. What are some attitudes that can lead to disharmony in the body? Well, there's jealousy, envy, independence, haughtiness, arrogance, acting holier than thou. There's many attitudes that can lead to disharmony in the body of Christ. Are there any unnecessary functions or members in the body? According to verse 22 or 20 through 22, the answer is no. As we think of our physical body, what happens when we step on a toy car in the middle of the night or we hit our thumb with a hammer, or you get too big of a drink of hot coffee? It hurts. It causes pain. That pain causes us to react, and in that moment, the pain controls us. It causes our whole body to react. So how does this relate to the body of Christ? In verse 26, if one another suffers, all suffer together. If one another is honored, all rejoice together. We should suffer with one another and rejoice with one another. Our physical body has many parts, and each part has its own function, but every part is needed in order for our body to function as one body. As for the body of Christ, it is a must. It is much the same way. Each part, each believer has a function, a gift, or a talent. When put together to serve God, becomes one body, making the body stronger and able to work and serve Jesus with each other and to serve each other, causing unity. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. According to Paul, what will preserve unity in the body of Christ? Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing each other's burdens, love, eagerness to maintain unity. These actions don't come easily for everyone, or actually for most of us. We should be more intentional about keeping unity in the body of Christ. We should keep that in the forefront of our minds, that we desire unity just as God desires unity in the body of Christ. I know we could all come up with at least one person in the body of Christ that we find difficult to relate to in love. I dare say that I'm that person for someone else. What are we willing to do to bring harmony in that relationship? We could start with prayer. Ask God to show us what may need to be fixed in our own hearts, then pray for the person that God would heal their heart also. This helps us with the unity in the body. We could pray for the opportunity to get to know that person better. You know, we never know truly what may be going on in someone else's life until we get to know them better. Keep an open mind. We aren't all alike. We process things differently. We're different. God made us different. I'm happy He did that. It would be really boring for all of us to be the same. In Psalm, let's end with Psalm 133:1. It says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." Together in unity. It's pleasing to the Lord. So let's intentionally do that this week. Thank you for listening today. Next week, we will talk about the local church. And I pray that you have a great week and that we will all be more intentional about keeping unity in the body of Christ. May God bless you always and in always.